Well, we're going to read God's word from the Old Testament and in the book of Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14 in the Bible that I'm using is page 509. So let's read God's word together. Job chapter 14, and we'll read the whole of the chapter. Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. He comes out like a flower and withers. He flees like a shadow and continues not. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me into judgment with you? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? There is not one, since his days are determined, and the number of his months is with you, and you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass. Look away from him and leave him alone, that he may enjoy like a hired hand his day. For there is hope for a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its shoots will not cease, though its root grow old in the earth and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water it will bud and put out branches like a young plant. But if a man dies and is laid low, man breathes his last, and where is he? As waters fail from a lake and a river wastes away and dries up, so a man lies down and rises not again. Till the heavens are no more, he will not awake or be roused out of his sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath be past, that you would appoint me at a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my service I would wait till my renewal should come. Would you call, and I would answer you, and you would long for the work of your hands, for then you would number my steps. You would not keep watch over my sin. My transgression would be sealed up in a bag, and you would cover over my iniquity. But the mountains fall and crumbles away, and the rock is removed from its place. The water wears away the stones, the torrent wash away the soil of the earth. So you destroy the hope of man. You prevail forever against him, and he passes. You change his countenance and send him away. His sons come to honor, and he does not know it. They are brought low, and he perceives it not. He feels only the pain of his own body, and he mourns only for himself. Amen. This is God's word, and may he give us understanding of it and bless it to us. In the Lord's name, we ask this. If we can turn back to the Old Testament passage which we read in Job chapter 14, and read again verse 14, where Job says, if a man dies, shall he live again? That's his question. And here's his answer. All the days of my service I would wait till my renewal should come. I'm sure that we've all heard the saying, perhaps at some time in our lives, you will need to have the patience of Job. You'll need to have the patience of Job. And if you know the story of Job, Job lost everything that he had. In one day he lost his family. He lost his wealth and he lost his health. Because God allowed Satan, if you read in the beginning of Job, God allowed Satan to take everything away from him except his life. God gave permission for this. And you know, God at the beginning says, you know, have you considered my servant Job? There's none righteous like him. And the devil responds like saying, well, you just let me put my hands on him and we'll see a different story. And God says, very well, you can place your hands on him, but do not take, you're not allowed to take his life. And so Satan took everything from Job. And yet, Job, he would not curse God. His wife said, just curse God and die. And Job wouldn't do that, even though he was suffering and he lost everything. And as the story goes on, three friends come to Job to comfort him. And they're absolutely convinced that Job has sinned, that Job has done something wrong against God for all of this to happen in his life. And surely it's not for nothing. You must have sinned, Job. And so on, it goes like this conversation back and forth between Job and his three friends. And then comes a final speech from God himself towards the end, whereby he doesn't give answers to Job. He doesn't tell him, this is why I have done it, Job. He doesn't say that. No, instead, he asks Job a series of questions, which Job has no knowledge of, nor understanding. And in the end, Job acknowledges the majesty, the wisdom of God. And he rests penitently and humbly in the truth that God knows what he is doing. And what he does is good, even if I do not understand it right now. And in chapter 14, Job observes that the life of man, well, it's short. And it's full of trouble in this world. Our lives are but short, and they have, we go through lots of troubles in this lifetime. But in verse 7, he says, there's hope for a tree. The tree can be cut down, you know, but it can regrow again. If its stump remains, it will regrow. But what of man, says Job? When he dies, he's laid away, he breathes his last, and where is he? Where is he? He's gone. And so he asks in verse 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? And that's the question I want to think about with you today. If a man dies, shall he live again? Well, Job is not raising the possibility of man or woman not dying. All men and all women, except Enoch and Elijah, die. Enoch and Elijah, as you remember, were taken by God from this world alive. They went from earth to heaven without experiencing death. God took them. Enoch walked with God and was no more, for God had taken him. The only other case is, the case where men and women won't die physically, is when Jesus Christ returns to this world. Then we're told that the dead will be raised and all will be judged. But generally speaking, all will physically die in this life at some point if Christ doesn't return. Death is something that faces us all. One day you and I are going to meet with death. It's unavoidable. It's not something that we naturally want to think about, but it's something we will experience. So it is absolutely essential that we're prepared for that time, that we're ready for that day, that hour. Friends, death is not natural. It's something alien. Because we were made to live. God made us to live, not to die. Back in Genesis, God says to Adam, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then you will surely die. God gave him everything else except one tree and said, don't eat from that or you'll die. And Adam and Eve consciously and freely chose to disobey God and become independent of him and eat from that tree. And so sin brought death into the world that God had created. And sin separates us, we're told, from God, and it separates us from life as well. The soul that sins will die, is what the Bible says. We all die because of sin, but Job raises this question. If a man die, shall he live again? He says, there's hope for a tree. And if there's hope for a tree, is there hope for man? Is there hope for us? Surely death does not have the final word, Job is saying. How would you answer Job's question today? Will the dead live again? Well, there are three ways, I think, at least, to answer that question. Firstly, you could say, no, the dead do not rise again. They do not live again. There are people who do not believe in life after death. They believe that when we die, we simply cease to exist in any way at all. That's it. This life now is all there is. There's no future after this life. No God to face, no heaven, no hell. And this is really a very, very bleak view indeed. And those who understand it know it. Because this life is as good as it gets. Those who hold this view, they understand and agree that it's bleak. Because according to this view, life has no purpose, no real purpose, no value, no meaning. We're just some random mutations that will disappear into oblivion one day. No point, no purpose, existing for a brief and often troubled period of time. And then we're no more. We're gone. No hope, no future, no ultimate justice. A dog-eat-dog world, survival of the fittest. If you make it in this life, great. But it won't last long. And if you don't make it in this life, hard lines. Can I ask you, what's your hope today? Do you have a hope beyond this life? Do you have a hope in this life that leads to beyond this life? The second way to answer this question is to say, I don't know. Is there life after death? I don't know. Well, my response to that is, do you not think you should find out? Do you not think you should find out? If there's no life after death, then we've got nothing to lose. But if there is a life after death and a God to face, then we've got everything to lose. However, I believe that every single human being knows there's an afterlife, knows there's a God. Even those who say there is none. Because it's easier to live your life without God if you say there's no God and there's no afterlife. Do what we want then. But in the heart of every human being, the Bible tells us that there's a knowledge of God, that he exists, Paul spells that out clearly in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 onwards. Read these verses. Paul tells us that, you know, the creation reveals the existence of a creator. But instead, men and women choose to suppress that knowledge, and he says, exchange it for a lie. We also read in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11, that God has put eternity in our hearts. God has put eternity into our hearts. There is a longing in all of us for more than what we see and experience now. Concerning this verse, Warren Wiersbe says this in his book. This verse seems to suggest that God made man's heart so that man is dissatisfied with life on the surface, and has a deep craving for that which is changeless and eternal. We know deep down that men and women are created for something far greater than the 70 and 10 years. And in our higher and our better moments, we know that there is more than just this brief physical life of what we see here and now. And so there is in us, in our hearts, this search for this missing dimension. Eternity is in our hearts. But the problem is that many are searching for the answer to this in the things of this world. And you can't find it there. Where are you looking today? We need to look to God. We need to look to His Son, Jesus. And that brings me to the third answer. And you can say, is there life after death? And you can say, yes. Yes, there's life after death. Yes, a man can live after he dies. And that's what God tells us through His Word. Yes, a man can live again. Jesus taught us this truth. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we read, then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Man became a living soul, living spirit. We're composed of body and soul, material and immaterial. Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. The Shorter Catechism says this, the souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies, being still united to Christ, do rest in their graves till the resurrection. The body will die, but the soul lives forever. Death is the end of life here, but the beginning of the afterlife. And one day, the scripture tells us, both body and soul will be reunited the soul and the body will be reunited. But for the one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be a new, glorious, resurrected body. And this is the hope that Job has here. Well, he didn't know as much as you and I know today, but he knew enough and put his trust in that, in the Lord. He answers his own question with a yes. He says, if a man dies, will he live? Again, and listen to what he says in verse 15. All the days of my service, I would wait till my renewal should come. Shall a man live again? Yes. I will wait for my change to come, says Job. The word renewal, or it could be translated change, conveys the idea of being replaced, substituting, changing, a renewal, a new garment. And in the midst of his suffering, Job has this hope of better things to come, of a life after death. A change is going to occur, a renewal is going to take place of his body. He shall live again. And he says in later in Job chapter 19, verse 25, he spells out even more clear here. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I will see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. He says, when I'm dead and my body is rotted away, I know that yet one day again I'm going to stand on the earth in my body and I'm going to see my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, with my eyes. Do you have that hope that Job had? Is that your hope today? Because whether we believe or not, we will all see God face to face. We will all be resurrected to stand before him. And you know, the greatest proof of this is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 17 that God has set a day when he will judge the world. And that means everyone who has ever lived. Jesus says himself, do not marvel at this, but an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. But Paul was saying in Acts 17 that God has set a day when he would judge the world. And he goes on to say that the proof of this is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friends, today is Easter Sunday. The church across the world celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today in Romania, the custom is, when you go to church, they'll say to you, Christos Anviat, which means Christ has risen. And they'll reply, Adevărat Christos Inviat, indeed, truly, Jesus has risen. Jesus' tomb, it's empty. All the other religious leaders, their tombs are full. But Jesus' tomb is empty. And it remains empty. Where is Jesus? Some say he didn't die. Well, friends, he was flogged to an inch of his life. He was nailed to a cross. He had a spear stuck into his side. He died. He died. Someone stole his body. The tomb was guarded. The tomb was sealed. No one took his body. Then what happened to Jesus' body? Frank Morrison, whose real name was Albert Henry Ross, 1881 to 1950, was an English advertising agent and freelance writer. And he set out to write a book that would never be written. He was going to write a book that would prove that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a myth. And he set out to write this book. But instead he published a book called Who Moved the Stone? In the last paragraph of that book we read this: there may be, as the writer thinks, there certainly is, a deep and profoundly historical basis for that much disputed sentence in the Apostles' Creed, the third day he rose again. End of quote. In investigating the facts, the once skeptical Frank Morrison came to the solid conviction that Jesus truly did rise from the dead. He set out to prove it was a myth, and going through the facts, he came to the conclusion Jesus is alive. He died and rose again. If a man dies, shall he live again? Yes. Yes, absolutely. Jesus Christ did. He died and he rose again. And we celebrate this today. And if he didn't, as the Apostle Paul says, forget it. We got nothing if he didn't die, if he didn't rise. For 3 years, Jesus said that he would be handed over, crucified, and rise again for 3 days. Dead, buried, risen. His disciples, they saw him risen. They spoke with him. They touched him. He was seen and he was heard by his followers. And on one occasion, we're told that he was seen by more than 500 people at one time. Skeptics like Frank Morrison, hardened atheists, people of other faiths, have all met Jesus and have been changed by him. But the all-important question is this: have you met with him? Have you met with the risen Jesus Christ? Because where we go in the next life is based on what we do with Jesus in this life. Jesus died for sinners. Everyone who believes in him will be raised to live in glory with him. Everyone who rejects him will be raised to be judged and condemned. Where are we going in the next life? Have you got Jesus in this life? What is your hope for this life? Because this life, friends, is brief. The one to come is forever. Do you want to spend it forever with Jesus? Then believe in him. Then come to him. That's because that's his invitation to us. To come repenting of our sins, trusting in him, following him. He rose from the dead. And that means anyone can meet him today. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus is alive. Everyone who calls on his name will be saved. Today, friend, can be the beginning of the rest of your life with God, now and in the life to come. Amen.